City Council meeting October 10th, 2022.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please. We have Councilor White. Councilor Cunningham.
Here.
Councilor Sullivan.
Here.
Councilor Hobson.
Here.
And the mayor's here as well. Mr. Bauer, adjustments to the agenda, please.
One, Your Honor, we would like to remove the report on the Oktoberfest as Katie, our events coordinator, is on vacation this week.
Okay, thank you. At this time, then, I guess we're going to jump into the public hearing. This is a required public hearing to accept public input on issues not related to land use. Do I have a motion to open the public hearing?
Motion we open the public hearing.
I have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Excuse me, motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. See, with some municipal code, Title 3, Chapter 30, Section 30.09. Specifies the order of presentation of testimony for public hearings. After the hearing is opened as follows. Staff report, out of meeting or conflict of interest disclosures, public statements in favor, public statements in opposition, backwards, public statements in general, council questions and comments, and applicant's final remarks. The following presentation of testimony, the presiding officer will open the floor for a motion to close the public hearing. So, we need to have the staff report. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So, as you all know, we have a 0.23-acre property known as the Winston Section Surplus Property. We have gone essentially through an evolution of a process, surplusing it, utilizing the help and the assistance of Winston Realty. We appreciate Robert Zuber, he's here this evening, in order to facilitate a sale following the procedures to put out a bid and sell the property. So essentially, the appraisal was done and it dictated that the value is $7,500. An analysis was done showing that there is over 2,000 square feet of buildable area. The property was posted for sale through Winston Realty. We received two subsequent offers, one for in the value of $16,500, the second $17,000. The two sale agreements are attached. The highest is attached electronically. The lowest one has been printed out for your viewing. If you have any questions on those two, happy to answer those. Staff would recommend accepting the offer from HAD Properties LLC in the amount of $17,000. Happy to take any questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Any questions for Mr. McIntosh? Anybody here have a conflict of interest with these disclosures? Public statements in opposition of this sale? Public statements in favor? Public statements in general? Council questions and comments?
Your Honor, if I may, at this time, we do have a representative with from HAD Properties in the audience tonight.
So. Thank you. It's not you.
I just know it.
Thank you for attending. Applicant's final remarks?
I'd like to make a comment.
Please.
A part of the reason of the value on this is that it, you know, I've had 0.23 acres, but it is a very, as most of you know, unusual shaped lot. And that's the reason. And even if with the buildable area, it's going to have to be kind of designed based on that lot, so lots space.
So a triangular shaped house on a triangular lot?
Well, I would think we figured you could get a smaller footprint square one in, but you're just going to have to angle it the way, or could even be, you know, one odd size. There was several different ways we looked at that, but did not fit the standard conventional lot, and that was likely what the appraiser knocked it down for. we ran comps and the appraisal was, we felt low when we listed the property. That's why we came up to that, because we did get some comps in the area and we based the price. Both Mark and Tom set the price based on the comps rather than the appraisal.
Thank you, Robert. Any questions for Robert on that? Okay, if there's nothing further, I'm looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
Did you have another?
I make a motion to close the public
hearing. You have something you want to talk about?
Did
you bring your checkbook? I guess that's the
question. We're actually joking about that, but it's very true. We actually have a 5-day due diligence period on our contract. And I was mentioning to Thomas before the meeting that we will waive that. You know, we can close as soon as the public. Process you guys have to go through, but we're willing to close as soon as you guys are allowed to, because we've already done our due diligence.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure Thomas and Mark and Robert have gotten together on this.
We already know it's an odd lot.
Odd lot. It's kind of like the group up here.
So you have
odd lot.
You have seen that. I mean, you have looked at the lot and know what you're getting into, obviously.
We deal in small houses, in entry level houses, and 2,000 square feet buildable is about 500 square feet more than what we need for our general house.
So you're talking small house, not tiny house.
Correct. Our houses are roughly 1,300 square feet. Our footprint is 1,500 square feet. We're doing two. We're starting in Montero, and then there's actually a possibility of possibly doing a zero lot line there. Fit inside that footprint.
Great.
But we already have our plans.
I'm happy it's going to a good use. Do council members have anything to discuss? There's nothing. Wait, we didn't close it though, did we? Looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll move to close the public hearing.
Have a motion? Looking for a second?
Second.
Have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Any council members have anything to discuss? Hearing nothing further, the discussion is closed. Department reports. The Winston-Dover School District, Kimberly Kellison.
She is not in the audience this evening. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
I did not hear from her today.
Mr. Mayor, the comments from the audience section, I think we need to...
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay.
Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affront. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Seeing nobody? Moving on. So we don't have the school district superintendent. Chief Sardi is out. Mr. McIntosh, you have anything to offer?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, just one thing to share with you. As you all know, we've been working pretty tirelessly on the housing needs analysis, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But we got a technical assistance grant from the Department of Land Conservation Development, and we've had our consulting agency on staff for some months. We're coming to a close on that. Once we get to the period of adoption, we want to have discussions with DLCD in regards to the economic opportunities analysis, which is the same type of analysis as the housing needs analysis. It just covers commercial and industrial type development in the city. So it looks at, do we have deficiencies in commercial zoning? Where is it? How much? The same with industrial. Of course, we know the situation with the industrial zoning. It's a little bleak in that regard. So the idea is that we systematically continue updating our comprehensive plan so that we're able to draw from relevant new data instead of outdated information. So just wanted to make the council privy to that. We will be trying to pursue in the same regard as we did the HNA, the EOA, a lot of acronyms, but the Economic Opportunities Analysis. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. McIntosh? Well, of course. Any help, please? Anything?
Good evening. Just a couple of things. We have PPNL. We're going to be meeting them up on Galaxy for the communication shelter Wednesday. So at 10 o'clock Wednesday, we'll have an idea. It'll be Marty with PP&L, so we'll be looking at the what the requirements would be for power to our communication shelter up there for our IT service. Have a little more feedback once we get some clarification on that, what that's going to look like. And then we have Crater coming in tomorrow morning for our main line that council's aware of that we discovered on Thompson. So we're going to have that hopefully addressed. Tomorrow's the plan. They were scheduled to come in this morning, but they got tied up in another snafu, which kind of nature of the beast sometimes. So they're scheduled to come in the morning and address that line across Thompson. So.
Good. Thank you. Any questions for Andy?
Yeah, Andy, how that one on Thompson, how long of a pipe are you going to have to dig into?
It's going
to
be at least 50 feet.
50 feet.
It's bad coming to the east and bad coming to the west. But we're just going to get that crossing. We just want the crossing to fell on us on the main action of the road on Thompson. So we'll get that addressed. We'll look at the rest of it later.
So how far up is it from what we did a couple years ago?
It's another couple hundred feet past that.
Past that.
Yeah, we didn't touch anything. We basically came into Public Works. Everything from Public Works down to Carlos was new. And once again, if the council remembers on, we had to stop in that project also because we ran into that AC line. We stopped on that project, but that'll be something else we're looking at for SDCs and things. We're using that is because we'll be continuing on for that point, all the way back to Oak at some point in the future.
Andy, just that I got a call on Sunday concerning a lot of you may not you're not aware of this, okay? But just this on that in City Park, apparently the school kids are. Dropping an awful lot of trash and put it in under some matting or something like that. Somebody found it really totally gross, so they gave me a telephone call, and I said, I was going to call you today, and I forgot.
No, it's all right. Yeah, we'll keep an eye. We had had some little vandalism. Well, not a little vandalism. One of our cameras were busted off at the park restroom. Young kids with the skateboard. We had got on a camera. We got everything taken care of on our side as far as turning it over to PD and whatnot, but we caught them in the camera. They were walking down and just beat it off the building with their skateboard.
Was so, smart, was it?
Anyway, yeah, we'll take a look at that case. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just passing it.
Yeah, thank you.
That just blows my mind. Anyway. Thank you. Any further questions for Andy? This administration, Mr. Bauer. Thank you, Andy, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mark, anything?
A couple quick things. I did receive a late email from Ms. Kellison regarding she has an illness. Evidently, she was exposed to COVID and may have COVID right now. So she has asked to be rescheduled in November. So we will get her back on the agenda. Also, I was contacted by the News Review today wanting to do an article on the ballot issue that we have coming up in November on the psilocybin facilities, and so I will meet with them and see what their questions are. Today we signed contracts on the community center roofing project, so that's now under contract, which means that we move away from our bid bonds, and we're covered under our contractual bonds. So in the event there was some decision not to move forward, we have the bonds to take in order to complete the project. So it's a done deal at this point. Also got an update on Park SDC work, which is currently waiting on some financial data coming out of our finance department in order to complete that piece of work. So Ann will be working on that here in the near future to get that information back to Scene in order for him to complete the work. And lastly, I don't know if you noticed it, if anybody noticed it, but there was some graffiti on the fencing along Abraham. But it was recently the property owner had the fencing removed and has new fencing up with no longer having any graffiti on it. So it was very much similar to the new fence that was constructed along I-5 in Roseburg, along the, you know, where the VA park is and the walkway, which is now turned into a graffiti center, much like the railroad cars as they drive by. So Anyway, that was taken care of.
Curtis.
That's all I have for right now.
I just got two things. On the Winston 24/7, if the police department could at least once a week, maybe once a month, give a police report, I think that would go a long way to the for keeping communications open between our citizens and the city. And the second part on that too is on the weekly report that I've been seeing generated. If you could put in your accomplishments for the week, it would be greatly appreciated. But the and also the third, like on that too, which goes a long way, which you did very well, was maybe a monthly report from the city manager to the Winston City, because they got over 3,000 people out there in the community that reads that. And that's a good way to outreach to the citizens and what the citizens do.
To the 24/7 group, okay.
Because that's a great way to do some advertising for the city and what we're doing. And even on something with public work, you know, something major coming up, too. Along this line, Mayor, what you talked about, too, was, you know, we're looking at the horrible dilemma of our sewers.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not be a bad idea to start talking that up a little bit,
well,
too.
I had intended, and I kind of dropped the ball a little bit, but I had intended to try to make sure that there was something mentioned along the lines of the sewer issue at every council meeting and workshop. That way it goes onto the line. Along those lines, if you're done.
Yeah.
Along those lines, Mr. Bauer, I had a conversation with Deanna from the USDA at the conference, and she indicated that she'd like to get together to talk with us about possible funding for some of our projects. So if you could order or organize a little coffee clutch sometime early November, maybe get Will over here from Civil West, include Andy and Thomas and myself and Deanna, and get her kind of online with it, and at least get that ball started rolling. They seem to be pretty enthusiastic about money that was available. Did Thomas, did you kind of find that too? There was lots of money out there. It's just trying to figure out how to get our glommers on it.
Yep, I agree.
This program that you gave me a call, I'm well aware of that program, and that's primarily a loan program.
Right.
So, but I do know they have other vehicles, and during the one stop, they come to the table with their other options.
Right, and that's what she was trying to get us organized into a one stop.
Yeah, and we'll be updating you on that. We're a ways away from a one stop. We have to get our, what's holding us back right now is the SDC work that we're doing that will, Civil West is compiling the projects necessary to get in front of a one stop group to show them this is the work that needs to be done, this is the estimated cost, this is all of the things involved in that so that we can get that going. So as they get that work completed, we'll be able to move forward to that position.
So
we're just not there yet.
The meeting in November will be premature?
It probably would be.
Okay.
But I will check with Civil West and find out how close they are. I know Andy's been working very closely with them on identifying the projects that are priority projects, and as of course one of them being the siphon project is one of the major ones. So
that's the first one.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Any more questions for Mr. Bauer? See, no old business. City Council workshop, what are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members.
Excuse me. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate
you
being here.
Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yep. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So we just had one request for a workshop. Our consulting group for the HNA, as I was previously discussing with you, 3J Consulting, Steve Faust, is scheduled. They have one more visit budgeted in, and it's for a joint workshop with you, similar to the TSP. It'll be a presentation. The documents are all there, and I promise I don't attach all this just to clout up your packet, but there's a lot of information there, a lot of different things that they have to go through with the OARs in order to extrapolate that analysis where it meets the criteria but also gives us the data that we need. So they're going to do a presentation for the benefit of the council for you to ask questions or for you to require them to change things or anything like that prior to going through adoption. And so we're requesting that we have the opportunity to schedule that for the 17th at 6 p.m. prior to the council meeting here in council chamber. Mm-hmm.
Any issues with that, councilors? Okay.
One of the questions I just was asking Thomas, this is a lot of detailed information in this report. And if you might remember, we really ran up against the time clock when we were talking about the TSP. And so I'm wondering if an hour long meeting or 45 minute long meeting is enough time to really work through.
So what are you suggesting? We start at 5:30?
5:30 would be a much better time.
Yeah. Alicia, will that work for you?
If you think we need that much time, sure.
Okay. Well, you have travel issues is what I was...
Yeah. No, I'm going by phone.
Okay. Okay. Maybe it's Kentucky Fried Chicken then.
Yeah.
City. Why don't we have a... Why don't the city play a supper while we're having a workshop?
Well, that's up to...
Well, that would be a plus, yeah. I would agree.
Let's have pizza and beer. What the heck?
Near beer.
If we were to do that, what kind of a dinner would you envision?
Chicken boss.
Yeah, I heard that. Chicken?
Or pre-dinner donuts or something.
Donuts.
That was one of the snacks they had over there.
Chicken.
Albertsons has amazing chicken.
Sandwiches or something.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Subway.
Okay.
It's in town, so we're...
And I'm fried chicken for Andy.
So there's something going on out here I want to know about.
We have a chicken thing.
That's a public works steadfast.
It's a
meal.
Chicken, yeah.
That's a fried chicken. It's not bad.
It is pretty good.
5:30. And whatever. I'm not really that picky on what I eat. Obviously, look at me.
That's true.
I knew that was coming.
Sandwiches are good.
I think that
we could call in from 900 Wall, Thomas, and see what they can get over here.
You're right, yeah. Maybe if we do it by now, they can get it down in time.
Okay.
We will make
any
that
more
happen.
Questions? Any more comments on the workshop? Okay, resolution 22. Resolution 22-1066. Grant for mapping the city's stormwater collection system. Mr. McIntosh, please, I guess you're the city recorder tonight as well.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of the audience, resolution number 22-1066, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to accept the Department of Environmental Quality grant to complete stormwater mapping and enter into an agreement with Lori Price Engineering Support Services, LLC, to complete the project for an amount not exceeding $24,000.
Okay, staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as you know, and as we've been previously discussing, it took some time for the award grant letter to come in, but the Department of Environmental Quality, for the benefit of the audience, they have a Stormwater 319 grant, it's called. And we investigated that, and of course it's a high need for us to have a visual map of our stormwater system, our discharge points, all of those things. It helps on two fronts. It helps with our tracking, monitoring. It also helps with our TMDL compliance. So it's really going to be integral moving forward. So we applied. Something to keep in mind on this, two things. There are other cities that qualified, so the mapping will be done for them as well, but we are first because we We consolidated the grant. We did the grant writing. The city of Winston is the applicant because we essentially did all the work. And so,
who's the other beneficiary?
There's a number of cities. I think there's about six total: Elkton, Oakland, Reedsport, Yoncalla. You know, some of the smaller cities that some of those aren't going to have much of any. So it won't take her very long to facilitate that. Us and Reedsport, but. So this grant was originally supposed to be $48,000. There were two projects that DEQ approved, so it got cut down to $24,000. So in our regular TMDL meeting, we communicated that with the understanding that once the engineer goes out and starts doing data extraction, then they'll be able to figure out how much the $24,000 will cover. It's possible that some of the cities will have to wait until the next grant cycle, which they understand, and you know, we have, I think we're all okay with that. So it's kind of estimated that four cities will probably be covered, ours being first, and that's just kind of the precedent moving forward. So we're expecting a contract very soon from DEQ that we'll also have to put into place. And the contract will be between us and DEQ, augmenting that, and then Lori Price will essentially do the work. Another thing to keep in mind about this, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but there's a 40% match. The match doesn't have to be covered by any of the cities. There's no financial impact because Douglas County Public Works has agreed to do all the GIS work. So it's being covered by in-kind. So it's a successful grant in that way, being that there's no financial detriment.
So the $24,000 is just what the grant... We won't be responsible for that.
No. Okay. The $24,000 is the full umbrella. The $24,000 is the full umbrella of the grant. And there would typically be a 40% match, but being covered by the county. So staff would recommend approval of the resolution 22-10.
Any questions for Mr. McIntosh?
Yeah, on this Douglas County Public Works offset on the in-kind, what is there? Why are they involved necessarily? Just because they're being nice about it?
Sure, yeah. So Violet Greenberg is kind of the GIS coordinator up there, and she has been very integral in helping with a lot of these projects. And she is part of our TMDL crew, and essentially, yes, they volunteered to house it on their enterprise server. They also, so Lori Price, the engineer, she does not have any GIS platform. When she extracts the data in the field, she will bring it back, and her gadgets will have to transfer it to Violet, to the county, to where it will be translated to a shapefile so she can lay it down on a map and make it pretty. All right. So in an answer to your question, yeah, the county is pitching in with this. And
it actually helps them out eventually, too, because then they get the map made for them.
Yeah, I mean, it gives them more of a data collection system from a countywide standpoint, but it also helps them with their TMDL compliance. So they get good marks for their annual report as well.
Plus, plus.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from Mr. McIntosh? Comments from the audience? Seeing none, looking for a motion to approve Resolution 22-1066. Accept the DEQ grant for mapping city stormwater collection system.
Make a motion we accept resolution number 22-1066.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution 22-1067. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 22-1067, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with Jeff and Bobby Rowe, 275 Hellwood Road, Winston, Oregon, titled Property Access and Siphon Construction Agreement.
Okay, thank you very much. Staff report.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council and members of the audience. This is a topic that's gone through a great deal of discussion. With you regarding it, I think that some of the comments that were, or comments, the statements in the letter to the property owners, as well as the development of the agreement, fit within what they wanted to see done on the property. One important aspect of this is to point out is that the one thing that won't be constructed that's a major cost to this is the extension from the meter service or the end of the temporary water service from the water district to the homeowner's home. That will only be done in the event there's an issue with the well. So they're fine with that, and they had no comments on the agreement and signed their portion of the agreement, and they sent it by email back to us, and we didn't get a very good copy, so I asked them to put a signed copy in the mail, hard copy in the mail to us, so we're waiting to receive that.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Question, how soon, now that we have this agreement signed, can we get the water guy in there, or the geologist, or whoever's going in, how soon are they going to be there?
We will make arrangements tomorrow with them to get to the property, as well as lay that out with the property owner. So,
perfect.
Did you get a chance to speak with him today, Tom?
I left a message for Chris Wick, who's the GSI gentleman. So we've got him on, kind of on the ball to. He didn't answer, but I left him a voicemail. So hopefully he'll call me back tomorrow.
Pictures of the well and stuff.
So yeah, we'll be arranging with him, contacting the property owner, make sure that timelines are met to in advance, so they know when he'll be out there to conduct his work.
Thank you. Any comments from the audience? Seeing none. Council action, looking for a motion to approve Resolution 22-1067, Property Access Agreement with the Roads.
I've got a question.
Okay.
So you have somebody that's going, or is somebody else, is he going to go by himself with the property owner, or somebody else going with him?
I'm not sure if he'll have more than one person to go out and help him install that. The property owner will want to be present, or his son will be present at the time that we're doing the testing. So,
and for the benefit of the council, apologize, Mr. Mayor, the agreement that we will later under 1068 resolution has the parameters of what GSI wants us to do. They want a city staff member there, and that's in that agreement.
Okay, that's
very good. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up, Alan. So, looking for a motion then on Resolution 22-1067.
I move that we approve Resolution 22-1067.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution 22-1068, Domestic Well Monitoring Agreement with GSI Water Solutions. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 22-1068, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with GSI Solutions, Inc. for domestic well monitoring before, during, and after construction of the city's sewer siphon project at 275 Hellwood Road, titled Amendment Number 1, in the amount not to exceed $15,910.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Staff report, please.
Absolutely. So as the city manager previously was discussing, this runs in concert with the agreement and in tandem with it in regards to entering the property. And one of the integral parts of the aforementioned agreement is that in order to prove that we are causing a detriment to the well in conjunction with the siphon project is we have to have some mechanism for monitoring it. And GSI Solutions has long been a support in terms of the hydrological component of it. They did our previous study. The information that we have is from that report. And so in lieu of that, in lieu of the need of monitoring it, this particular agreement becomes necessary. And as I previously stated, the Amendment 1 is about 3-4 pages, and there's about 3 site visits that's involved. And the first site visit, of course, involving installing the equipment, those types of things. But everything preceding that has to do with data extraction. So they're pulling the information out. They then sent a follow-up email to city staff saying what it is and what the detriment is. The last site visit is 6 months into the future from the previous one. So they're able to get a real quantitative amount of data from that.
At what point in time do we start sample drilling in this process? Within the next 6 months?
We will be arranging that as soon as the core driller is available on his schedule to do that. Yeah, with the signed agreement now, that kicks everything into process. So the design work is going to be moving full speed ahead to completion, and we'll be collecting all of this prior data. The one thing important to point out in this is that we will be installing instrumentation in the well, a transducer system that will be collecting data on a continuous basis. So they'll be just coming out and reading the logger and taking the data off of that. So we'll have a continuous 24/7 monitoring of that well.
Thank you. So these delays, what's this going to do to the eventual cost of the project?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What are these delays going to do to the cost of this project?
Well, the longer that it takes, we risk inflationary costs, and it just depends on how long it takes to get everything moving forward, documents signed, and construction started.
So we never really did get a black and white number for what the boring was going to cost, did we?
Andy, do you recall?
We did get a black one number, but we had them in and out about three different occasions. The last time we had them come in, if we all recall, we weren't charging that one. We just got in there and it worked out pretty well. We weren't charging the last one, but I can get an updated number for that one. Off the top of my head, I can't recall what that was. We rolled it into that original agreement with Civil West, so it's rolled into it. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any questions for...
Without getting too technical, how do these transducers work and how? And you said we're getting constant readings. Where are the readings monitored at?
At the wellhead. So that's they'll have to make a visit to the wellhead, attach a data logger to the top of the transducer, which will take off all the well readings that are collected by the logging device. So. The transducer is just an electronic device that sits in the well and just measures the water level up and down. Once it's calibrated, that's part of the initial cost of the first visit, is calibrating it to the existing conditions of the well, so they can then monitor that.
Like a float system?
It's like a float system, only it's a single individual electronic device that just measures a pressure change in the water. And then calculates that into height of water column above it or below it.
The amount of data collection here, I think, is important. Another thing that GSI will do is they will download stream flow data available from a nearby gauge in the Umpqua River. So they're doing, essentially with this, a comprehensive approach in regards to trying to solidify the fact that, the project caused an issue, or the boring activities caused an issue, and it's based on empirical data, not.
But if it's going to monitor the river as well, this is liable to show where his water's really coming from, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's the difficult question to answer is where it's coming from.
It's a difficult politically correct question to answer.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? Comments from the audience? Okay. Motion, please, on 22-1068, Domestic Well Monitoring Agreement with GSI Water Solutions.
I'd like to make a motion we move forward with Resolution 22-1068.
Thank you. I have a motion. Looking for a second?
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 22-1069, Bid Award West Side Sewer and Roadway Improvements. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 22-1069, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council, authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with Cradar Enterprises, Inc., for construction and completion of the West Side Street and Sewer Project for an amount not to exceed $963,756.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Can I have a staff report, please?
Yeah, good evening again. Once again, when we bring certain projects before council, Palaverski is very excited because it's a community, it's for the community. And this is one that we're very excited about. Not only that we have Kradar, who was the one and only bid, they're really good to work with, a great results with them on East Side. So, like I said, originally we had the non-mandatory pre-bid, we had five total show up. I just want to give a little background on this. So we thought, we're getting a pretty good turnout on this one. Well, we had the bid open, we had one, just Kradar. And they came in at the $876,142. And then they were pretty close to the engineer's estimate at $924,000. I was like, okay, you know, you have the one, you don't really know what to think, but the numbers came in really good. They're excited about that part. But we did have just the one. I'm not really, and we did reach out and talk to a couple of contractors of why. Was there something there? Was there something potentially that spooked them? Was it, what was it? Why did nobody bid on it? Than one? Other than it being the kind of the sign of the times, possibly, the fact that they're busy and they're really hard, and we're discovering this now when we do these little projects, trying to get somebody in here. I just want to share a little bit of background on that. It's really difficult to get folks in here to do things. So I just want to share a little bit. So we were happy to get that number that came in from Kradar. Once the prescribed notice of intent is to award this project, which that intent has passed. So the recommendation is to award the project to Kradar Enterprises for the $876,142 plus a 10% contingency for $963,756. And then I know council's already looked at these numbers, but I'll just kind of go over them a little bit. $265,000 is from our street and drainage improvements. The $205,170 from the grant projects. Once again, we got creative last fiscal year when we bought our sweeper. So we kicked that West Side project. We put it on hold. So that's another thing there that we got creative, which is pretty nice. I always like to share positive things. So we're back around again. So that gives us $470,215,000 for our street drainage total. We have $613,000 in our sewer mainline, for a total amount of $1,083,215. We have remaining engineering of $51,767.55. That leaves $1,031,447.45 in budgeted funds. So staff recommends the West Side Sewer and Roadway Improvement Project to Kradar Enterprise, Inc. for the $876,142 plus a 10% contingency for a total of $963,756.
You're developing quite a relationship with Kradar. I'm not saying that's bad. It's just that they seem to be the ones that step up and want to help, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty. Yeah, it's,
you can call tough. Them. And you got an emergency. They're going to come help you.
It's been tough. Yeah, it's we're. Yeah, like I said, they got tied up in another one today.
And these are large projects for us, for a city of our size. These are large projects, but in relationship to the projects that these contractors are bidding on, this is a small one, and in the fact that they're moving around, it's not just a singular linear project, but they're actually having to move around in different areas and break it up. It's difficult to get contractors that are willing to come in and step up to those kind of projects. So,
can you remind me again what the West Side area is considered? Isn't it down by the school, right?
Yeah, we'll have, and I'll go over it again. It has Rose Avenue from Sherry to Reed, and then we have Sherry from Morgan to Rose, and then Glen Court. Then we have, actually, and then we included, because Mark alluded to this earlier, as we postponed things, we had the, remember the main line behind, was Willie's? It's yeah. The, so we have that one we added to this project, too.
Okay.
So we have that increased in there, and then we have the pipe burst in the 15-inch trunk line. Off of, we call it the elephant hole between a Looking Glass and Abraham. So we have about 900 feet of bursting, which is pretty good. So we have some bursting mixed in there with some open trenching and cutting. And of course the storm work, the paving, and we try to get as much bang for we can with that buck. So we're pretty excited about this number. I think we're gonna get, this is covers a lot of country for us.
Well, and then helps resolve some of our recent
yes,
issues too.
It does, these are all lines that are.
Right.
So we were really hesitant on, because I was asking, well, what are we going to remove? I don't know. What would we remove if we had the numbers didn't come in? But
yeah.
Fortunately, we have the numbers came in favorable on our side.
That's good.
Thank you. Any more questions for Andy? Comments from the audience? Council action. Looking for a motion to approve 22-1069, the bid award for the sewer and roadway improvements. West side.
I move that we okay resolution 22-1069.
I have a motion. Thank you. Looking for a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same side. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Resolution 22-1070, temporary construction water mainline extension siphon project. Title only, please, Mr. McIntosh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 22-1070, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with the Winston-Dillard Water District, a domestic water supply district formed under ORS 264, for the extension of a water main line to provide temporary construction water for the sanitary sewer siphon project.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Who's got the... Andy, you have the staff report again?
Yes, sir. So we all know the background of that one. We need to get water to the property for construction. We did reach out to the Winston-Dillard Water District. They provided a number, the total number, including the SDCs, which we're not currently going to be looking at. It's just going to be the $10,239.37 to extend that main line up and get that 1 inch over there to the property side. And then that'll kind of ties into our earlier conversations about supply water to construction. And in the event if something would happen, we have that line is stubbed out and ready to go. And then we can just kind of go from there. But that's kind of the backdrop of it. So it's the financial impact is the mainline extension cost. This is including the system development charges. We wanted to give council the full number, so council's aware of it. It was $14,420.65. The initial cost would be the $10,239.37. That price is good until December. They have a change in December. I'm not sure what that may look like, but this number is good until December. And then in the event that we have to do a meter or something, then the SDCs get attached. So,
okay. Now, just for general information, that is going to the construction site, correct?
Yeah, it'll go.
And then if needed, you put a T on that and then run another line from that line to the residence.
Yes, if we got to the point we need to get water to that residence, we have that in right now because there's nothing we can do. We have, you know, so we get the water's there. Then it's just a matter of running that 2-inch poly up and, of course, the backflow and some other things of needed items. But step one would be, of course, getting water to that edge of the property.
Do we have an idea how many feet that would be going from the construction line to the house?
About 500 feet.
500 feet. Yeah.
So this is only a 60-foot extension.
So that's a nominal fee then.
Yes, this is their cost to tap it, put in the 6-inch main, extend the 6-inch main, put the service line over, install a meter box so that we can connect for temporary construction water, and in the event that we need to run the 500 feet of service line up to the house, we would be then having to set a meter in and then pay the SDC charge to go along with that.
Do we have an estimate on what that 500 feet is going to cost?
Andy?
The last number I got was a little 13,000. So I would say between 13 and 15,000.
Something y'all can do?
That was 14.
You know, we can, but I personally don't like working on private property. That's something I'll talk to the city manager about. Okay. We've never worked on private property yet. You just get into a kind of a gray area.
That's fine. I was just curious.
Yeah, and that's 2-inch poly. That's good, high-quality pipe. Once again, that's just the number we got. Kind of a...
How many feet is the construction pipe, water pipe?
I mean, it'll be a total of about 1,000 feet altogether. That's to their house, though.
That's to their house?
That's to their house.
But that's max cost that you're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's right.
The construction
cost. I like to give max. I don't like coming in on these numbers. I like to be kind of just more looking.
I appreciate that.
So.
Any questions for Andy on this? Okay, looking for a resolution or a motion to approve resolution 22-1070, a temporary construction water main line extension.
I make a motion that we pass resolution 22-1070.
Thank you. Looking for a second on that motion?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 22-1071, sale agreement for the public property designated surplus. Excuse me. Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution number 22-1071, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council approving the sale of city-owned real property and authorizing the city manager to take all necessary steps to complete the sale on behalf of the city.
Thank you. We have a staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Essentially, this runs in conjunction with the previous public hearing that took place at the beginning of the meeting. There's a couple of things I will add that are in the staff report. One thing to keep in mind as we talk about this buildable area and the analysis that we did, the only area that was taken out were setback areas, the 20 feet in the front, the 15 on the side or exterior, and the 10 feet in the rear. So this is area that you can still use for your yard, any other amenities except for structural development. So when we talk about a 2,178 square foot buildable area, we're just excluding those setback areas. That's just the area that you can put your house. It doesn't mean it renders the rest of the property unusable. So essentially, you know, with that full context, it makes it a pretty decent lot to kind of target, build on, and facilitate in a residential capacity. So you've had two written offers for purchase before you, one for $16,500, the second for $17,500. Of course, staff recommends council approve the resolution 22-1071 in lieu of the highest offer.
Any comments from the audience?
Yes.
Nothing to say. Okay. See the council action, looking for a motion to approve 22-1071, sale agreement for the public property designated surplus.
I move we approve resolution 22-1071.
Thank you. I have a motion, looking for a second.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Ordinance 22-707, illicit discharge into public stormwater collection system. This is read by title only. This is the second reading. Mr. McIntosh, please.
It's ordinance number 22-707, an ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council, adopting rules and regulations regarding illicit discharge into the city's municipal storm system, in conjunction with the requirements from the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ.
Thank you. Staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. I think you've heard from me enough, so I'll make this very brief. This is the second reading on this. Council has been at brief on two different occasions in terms of the attachment, the exhibit, where this additional language would be placed in the municipal code. Essentially, what it would be accomplishing in terms of how important our stormwater system is, how important it is to protect it, to put things, measures in place from a compliance standpoint, to look after it. We would recommend that council take action on it. It's the second meeting. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Mr. McIntosh?
Go ahead. One, how will you propose that we enforce it?
Great minds.
Yes.
That's why I said.
And the second part of it is when I look at this, what is the threshold of a pollutant?
What is the
threshold to consider a pollutant to go into the system?
Sure, yeah. So in regards to your first question, there is a full compliance section that is covered in the exhibit. So it gets punched in right in the environmental section in the nuisance ordinance, and it follows the same compliance process as any other if they're violating the code. So essentially you validate the violation, and it could lead to injunctions or citations.
So in other words, neighbors helping neighbors.
Yeah, well, our complaint process is completely complaint-driven. I mean, that's our compliance process. So unless we view it and put eyes on it and we're able to do it that way, then that's one way. But in most cases, we are relying on the good grace of citizens to tell us and you know, report to us what's going on.
Yeah, but it'd be their word against that, the transgressor word. So how would that stand up for...
When you're looking at illicit discharge, usually there's a pretty visible proof. I mean, especially, and I'll let Andy talk in some regards on this, but the metal wood situation is, one. I mean, you can clearly see that oil was going right into our system. I mean, the proof is right there, visible. I'm not saying all of these things that are captured in here are visible, but the idea is to have some protections for our system instead of none. Right, so it gives us some teeth to dissuade against those types of things.
Thank you.
And the second question.
The second question, so there's a number of sections in here that would cover, so violations, enforcements, and penalties. That's kind of the scope. There are some materials and different things that we would have, staff would have to house that out and call, let's say, DEQ or EPA. Even in some regards, but we have a contact with DEQ that has been phenomenal. Sarah Suter, she's answered in a pretty significant regard. She's consistent with helping us. So we are relatively new to this enforcing this type of thing. We are very avid about protecting our system, but we don't have an intricate knowledge on some of that malicious material. So we're going to have to lean a little bit on DEQ.
To be more specific on to answer your question, counselor, the only thing that should be going into our system is rainwater. Anything else is considered a contaminant. So it could be sediment runoff from a construction site. It could be somebody dumping something into a storm drain. It could be asphalt leaking from the back of an asphalt truck parked in a driveway. There's a lot of things that, but anything other than rainwater is considered a contaminant. And then
so you wash your car and that's considered
it is, but it's not specified in our ordinance as that's one of the exemptions in the ordinance. So but yes, certain soaps are, you know, there are things that are biodegradable, and most materials come with a materials data sheet which specifies whether or not there's contaminants or it's biodegradable. So there are things that could be not considered as being a pollutant in the system, but they would have to be proved out once we were aware of some kind of contamination issue.
There are a list of exemptions, but they're all directly related to environmental things, like you're irrigating, or like you said, there's a rise in groundwater, there's residential car washing, there's floodplain situations where, but it's all natural, just environmental hydrology that's taking place, but nothing beyond that.
For instance, let's say fertilizer. You know, you fertilize your lawn, or you put insecticides on your lawn. That can indirectly get into the water system. And that is.
Yeah. So, to that regard, right now we are not required to treat our stormwater runoff. What DEQ, what EPA is eventually trying to get to is the actual treatment of stormwater runoff so that the purity of the streams or the streams are recovered from these contaminants. So what TMDL means, total maximum daily load that a stream can handle of any contaminant, whether it's BOD, suspended solids, oxygen demand, nitrogen, all these things that create problems within the environmental system of the river. So if we are having, for example, a high nitrogen content, which is growing growth, changing the pH in the river, which is harmful to those aquatic creatures that live under certain pH environments, then they will come in and they'll say, okay, where's this coming from? And that's what the TMDL is looking at. Is it coming from agricultural waste? Is it coming from non-point sources within a city?
Cutting kind of fertilizer.
So, yeah, and those are what you would call non-point sources.
Yeah.
So we are not required to monitor those non-point sources for contaminants at the current time. Their approach right now is to attack it in this manner, where we're trying to control any discharge off into our stormwater system.
So basically what they're doing, they're taking a several step approach.
They will be, yes. That's the way these things work.
What about a golf fairway?
No, that's it. For another good example of that is this temperature issue we're dealing with in the river, and why we don't have a current permit at the wastewater plant. Now that's considered a point discharge because there's a pipe directly discharging into that river from that treatment facility. So we are on a we are operating under a valid permit with while they conclude what are the possible treatment methods for dealing with temperature in the river. And then they'll come back and tell us, and that may include completely taking our discharge out of the river so that we are not, so we are having no effect on this temperature in the river. And we all know that the primary reason the temperature is high is because the stream banks are no longer shaded.
Right. But also, please help us understand that the effluent that we're putting into the South Umpqua River is cooler than the river itself when it enters the river.
That's correct. But
how are we raising the temperature?
But what the regulations are saying is that a point discharger not only has to be lower than that, but they have to have an effect on the river system. And we are such a small portion of water, the dilution factor is so high beyond what we're putting into it, that in order for that to happen, we'd almost have to be putting ice cubes in it, so to speak, in order to impact the actual temperature in the river. So it's, you know, those are the things that are yet to be determined by DEQ in regards to what are going to be the potential treatment requirements.
This sewer thing is making this job less and less fun.
So basically, yeah. This ordinance is just to satisfy DEQ.
It is, but it's a first step. It is requiring us to monitor the system more closely than we had to do it before and take action where action is due.
Sounds to me like mostly it's going to be a point of where it enters into either the river or the where the water enters into the river, because you're not going to be able to monitor it until that point.
That's right. It means that eventually we would potentially have to consolidate our discharge points to a point discharge, which then we are monitoring and treating in order to meet the requirements put on us by the EPA.
You really don't know whether you have an illicit discharge until you reach that point.
Well, other than the fact that we know that anything other than rainwater going into that stormwater system is considered an illicit discharge.
That's true, but if it's raining and somebody has an oil leak and it goes into on a road someplace and it goes into the rainwater system, but it's raining anyway and it's diluted by the time it gets to the river, you're still not going to probably know about it.
You won't, but in a better example of that, as you all know, is that all summer long we drive cars. And these cars distribute contaminants all over the road system, and the first heavy rains we get run those off into our stormwater system. And eventually, those are the types of things that we're gonna have to end up treating. So, there's more to come. It's a ways out there. It's not happening tomorrow by any means.
There's water,
directly into the river. Yeah.
So part of this ties in with being good stewards of the environment and of our jobs. We take this very also very serious. We've had a lot of detects. We've had a lot of issues over the years that we went in there. Most of the time we have really good luck with education, talking about fertilizers, watering, overwatering. One of the things we've done in proactive is changing all our own way we do things in our parks by dethatching, aerating, plugging. We've decreased our water consumption by a third. Actually out of the river this year. So these are highlights we'll be able to share. And then we have, of course, on the city webpage, we have examples of things to do. So most folks, when you share with them what we're trying to do, they understand. And we try to share with them where these items may go. The problem we have is we do have something, and somebody's continual and habitual issue, we have no enforcement action. This allows us to that point for enforcement action, and that's one of the things we were lacking. So I'm just talking as a staff person that we have in the field when we're dealing with things. Having this ordinance will be huge for us to be able to enforce things as and if we need it. So
how is this going to affect your street sweeper operations?
Ties in quite nicely. That's once again, it's another feather, I call it. That's another whatever you want to call it. But it shows we're taking this very serious. We put our West Side project on hold because it's that important to the city of Winston to go out and buy a sweeper. That is huge. So that the talk about behind is we are proactive. We are a proactive community. We don't sit around twiddle our thumbs. We try to get creative to address things. We see issues. We're trying to address them. So that's just I want to share with the council. Council is great. Council extremely supportive. And this allows us another tool in our toolbox to be able to staff to be able to do their job. And we go out and do our storm cleaning. We do that every year. Once again, we are going to catch basins. We identify, I don't know how many things Megan has discovered with paint, oils, and we identify them, and then we research, we contact the homeowner, we get code in, and we just go through the steps.
Perfect. So. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that.
That's quite. Why we have you here? We'd like to know this stuff. Staff report, Thomas?
Yep.
Was that it?
Yep.
That was it.
Okay. Any comments from the audience?
Hasn't been approved.
You have more questions?
Oh, no. I'm good.
Okay, so we're looking for then a motion to approve ordinance 22-707, illicit discharge in public stormwater collection system.
I recommend that we agree to ordinance number 22-707.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Thank you, Dory. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much.
Lastly, Your Honor, if I may, this will go into effect 30 days from your approval.
Okay. Time for the rings. Okay. On agenda items from council. Anybody have anything they want to bring up?
I just have a question.
Sure, yeah.
Hills, I'm sorry.
So I can give a brief history on that. So some months back, we were contacted by the co-op president, Lonnie, and in regards to a lot of fill material. So the public works director, Andy, and myself, we went up there to one of the spaces to discover there was probably in excess of 100 yards that was just kind of sitting in a lot of fill material. So we essentially reached out to the space owner and did another site visit, talked through the process. He ended up putting in a grading permit. And the purpose of the fill was there is a retaining wall just below. And the idea was to place that fill material against the retaining wall to reinforce it. So he submitted a grading plan. And the determination from the city was you need an engineer to figure out stabilization. You need to give us something and you also need a drainage control plan. Because what was submitted, which can sometimes come from those grading applications, there's two things that could come out of it. The city could concur, or we could say, you need something from an engineer. Give us empirical data to essentially submit what you're asking. That wasn't submitted. He essentially, some months later, removed some of the fill, is what was communicated to us. He took the rest of it, placed it down against the retaining wall. And so we sent him a letter, a 30-day letter, saying, hey, we still need concurrence on this grading application in order to deem it complete and to review it properly. And the 30 days lapsed, and it was forwarded to compliance. And I believe that Officer Parker is moving forward with the citation process. So that's the history on that.
And to back up just shortly, Bremner Hills is not in the city limits.
It's not in the city limits. That's why
I'm saying it's that thing with a 10-foot pole. It's an environmental disaster
out there. So what happened is we have that agreement with the county, And the agreement with the county says that we will enforce our zoning and subdivision regulations only in our UGA area, so that in the future, if it is annexed, that it will be compliant with our processes. So then that kind of got off into, you'll recall that we had a citizen complaining to us about we weren't enforcing garbage and things like that in the outside city area that was in the UGA, and that's because it's not covered in our agreement. That's up to the county. But what is this kind of stuff. So we become the enforcement agent in this case.
Well, it's kind of interesting that they would do the squat over on Edgewood on this agreement, and all of a sudden they're really happy about it with Bremer Lane.
They are, because it's the part of the agreement that it actually covers. And it was agreed upon such that if there is a development, if there's a subdivision or something in the UGA that occurs under the county regulations, that they actually do it under our regulations. But it also spins off into all these other issues regarding like grading and things like that happen in our subdivision code. That's why we're out there dealing with it.
They got raw sewage running up there. They got raw sewage that's backing up in some of the houses up there. They got raw sewage pools. Are we going to be responsible for that too?
No. That's
so,
all.
So
that's
what citations kicking in?
That's under the health department regulation. What's that?
That's where those citations kicking in. So like you said, the health department.
Yeah, the health department. That's the agency that would deal with that.
And what authority does, okay, Parker can give the citation because of the agreement.
Right.
But the agreement is limited in scope?
It is. It's limited solely to those two segments of our municipal code. So.
So how does that affect? That's kind of a mix-up, really, because half.
Yeah.
Now, with the raw sewage, how does that affect the?
If they have raw sewage up there, what would happen is they would call out. Remember, that's a cooperative up there, which means that it's owned by one property owner, but each lot up there has a share in the cooperative. So if there's raw sewage or any of that type of thing going on up there, one of those neighbors would have to, or the board would have to call in the public health department to come in and see it and designate it a problem.
Oh, and God.
Well, that's a pretty cool way to be. That way, you're your own police department,
and they don't do squat.
But you're controlling your own destiny that way.
That's a
beautiful thing if you're that kind of a business.
And the entire county area operates under that same situation, because remember, the majority of it is septic tanks. And septic tanks, once they're installed, they're either failing or beginning to fail. So it becomes an issue down the road at some point. But until you have raw sewage that comes to the surface, then the health department can't do anything until they can come in and actually find that and designate, yes, this is happening. And then what they do is they red tag the property, close it down, and it gets bad.
People become homeless at that point.
Some of those houses, the sewage have backed up into the bathrooms.
Even if the property was inside city limits, the makeup of the property still dictates that the line would be private. So in any regard, the city might be able to facilitate something, but the sewer situation is an on-site services county issue.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the county appears to be turning a blind eye to it.
Well, that's we saw it on Edgewood. You know, they could have wrote an ordinance to cover the Edgewood issue as well, so that they could have dealt with that. You know, we had an ordinance within the city that covers that type of nuisance issues. County just chose not to do that, and they have that issue everywhere in the county.
Any other non-agenda items? I've got one new employee, Andy. How's it working?
May?
It's working really well. We're real happy with it so far.
You've been busy
painting, and
okay.
Here tomorrow they're going to be up at the community park restrooms, just
good.
In that building. So
good, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So are we going to redesign that community park restroom, or just paint it and make it look pretty?
We're going to put pig. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm going to rephrase that. We're going to make it look pretty. How's that? We're going to paint it up, clean it up.
Lipstick on that pig. What you were trying to say?
We're
going to
do something here. So I don't know if anybody's seen our own public works. The same thing there.
Yeah.
That old eyesore of a yellowish, whatever building that was, kind of matching in that a little bit. So we're. As that swing towards the Winston and the beautification and the positive things that are happening, why not other person do our part also?
Perfect. I think that's great. Thank you. I'm glad it's working out.
Just one quick thing. On the police report, it mentioned that there's several lateral transfers that some policemen are. Can you give us any information on that?
Yeah, yes, I can. So we lost an officer, as you know. He was our newest officer and decided before going to the academy, police work just wasn't for him. So he left us, and so we went out for lateral transfers, not expecting to see really anybody apply. But as you know, we had one that was sat in your audience here a couple meetings ago and introduced himself as a reserve. And he was with the Roseburg Police Department, and he decided that he stepped away to help with his family business, but now wants to get back into policing. So we had five lateral candidates.
You might remind council what his position was in Roseburg.
Well, I'm not sure what his position was, but one of the ones that has applied for the job is. He had the canine. Prior, and when he left, they no longer had a canine need, so they gave us the canine, and we started over. With our canine program, so that we also have another officer from the city of Roseburg who has applied. We had a county corrections officer who was also certified as a police officer. And we had another officer from Klamath County who also has put in an application. And we had one from the city of Myrtle Creek, but he withdrew his application. So we are now standing with four applications.
So in other words, if we select one of these individuals, we don't have to send them to a police academy and save thousands of dollars.
That's right, which is good.
That's the idea of a lateral.
That's right. That's right.
I just mentioned that for record.
So. Perfect. Yeah, we're excited the fact that we had four laterals apply, and it speaks a great deal, a great volume about how this city is operated and run, that these officers were willing to, in most cases, take a cut in pay, but to come into an organization that they believe is really being run well. So,
thank you. Anything else from non-agenda from council? Franchise agreement with Mr. Bauer, please. Quest and CenturyLink?
Still working, still on the in progress.
Check copies were in our packet, claims in excess of $500. Announcements tomorrow, park board. Be here, be square, huh? Economic development on Wednesday, right here at noon. October 17th, council at 7 p.m. We're going to have a workshop at 5:30 that day, too. October 20th, urban renewal agency, if necessitated. We need to kind of get back on that course if we can, at least to establish a new president.
I also have a quick update on the CORE project. So the CORE got their most recent round of testing back that we required before they start pumping into our system. So over today and tomorrow, they will finish pumping the remainder of the liquid out of the treatment process into our wastewater system. And then Wednesday, they will begin tank removal. So that's the latest.
So are they going to put a city swimming pool in when they take the tanks out? Or?
Good question. And I believe it will become some kind of a landscape.
Could be a moneymaker for it. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something cool.
Just a little bit of interest. Talking to a longtime resident here, when I had the trailer park back there, they had centralized fuel tanks, for oil.
Heating tanks.
Heating tanks for the, and as far as they know, the tanks are still there.
That's very possible. They could be. We run into them every once in a while where buildings are, that we ran into one as a police department. So, but the one thing about those tanks, those heating oil tanks, they fall under a little bit different regulation than the gas and diesel fuel does.
So what do they do?
They have to be removed. If they run into them for any reason, if they're excavating and they expose one, then they have to pull it out. Yep.
That'll be nice.
That's not like the gas and oil.
No, it's a little bit different. They have to remove anything that's in that container, and then they either can fill it with slurry or they can pull it.
Anything else from
the slurry cement sand, yes.
Executive session, sir?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you and good night.